Welcome into the starting lineup. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. Chandler and Emerson on the ones and twos. We're here until 9 o'clock. A lot to get to in the world of sports. Big time W by the Lady Vols. Talk about that as we look at While You Were Sleeping coming up in just a little bit. Time to play the game at 8:05 with a fantastic prize coming your way. We'll do five burning questions coming up at 7:30. McCainer, how are you today, buddy?
Dude, I am good. Hope you enjoyed your time off.
I did enjoy the time off. You know what's really awesome? Like, no alarm going off in the morning.
Man, I've heard stories about it.
8:15, 8:30, 8:45, goodness. And it's like, do I feel like getting up? Sure, why not?
Let's just turn the TV on.
Yeah.
Take a nap later if I want to.
Yeah, and that's kind of what goes down. So that was very, the staycation is almost better than the vacation.
Yeah, because the vacation, you got responsibilities on the vacation.
You still have things you have to do. But the staycation, man, you're on nobody's time but your own, right? Everybody can leave you alone. I don't even have to put on pants if I don't feel like it, right?
You even had your own little snow day yesterday.
I did have a little bit of a snow day. Yeah. Man, how much of those kids hate the new superintendent or the superintendent in Knox County Schools? I will say this time was the right call because roads are fine getting to and from there. The last time I'm taking Avery to school and it's 2 hours late and we're behind a fishtailing bus. And then she got a message that the bus wasn't coming to our house. Like, because of inclement weather. And I'm like, well, if you can't get the bus to our house,
then why school?
Why are you having school right now? But they made, Knox County Schools made the right call, making it 2 hours late, and a lot of the other ones in surrounding areas.
Jeff County, we'd be out till March. That's why I love growing up where I grew up.
Dude, if you grow up in a country area, man, you can't salt all them roads, right?
You can't,
that's kind of what happens. All right. So yesterday, we got a lot of announcements as far as coaching hires at the Group of Five level. FAU to replace Lane Kiffin. They go after Willie Taggart. Steve Adazio is hired after being canned at Boston College, is hired to coach at Colorado State. I remember seeing this from Dan Wolken in the middle of last week where he said a lot of these schools are surprised, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago even. He said a lot of these schools are surprised at what the current coaching candidate pool is going to be, and that maybe you're not going to see big names that are willing to come back. You're going to see guys who have taken a few years off willing to come back this year. Maybe big-time coordinators aren't willing to move. And, man, it kind of looks like that was the case right now, right, Kaner? Because, again, I don't think Taggart's a bad hire at FAU because I don't think what was going on there is his problem. Now, I don't think he was the answer, but he definitely wasn't the problem at Florida State. So that's not a bad hire there. Man, Adazio at Boston College going to getting a head coaching job again, right? Sam Pittman, who I think is awesome, getting a job at Arkansas. I hate to say it like this because I know everybody around here seems to love him, and I think he's a really nice play caller. I'll be floored. I'll be like, if you told me aliens land on the field during a game next year at Neyland Stadium during a home game, I'll be less surprised than if you tell me in 4 years Lane Kiffin is good. And frankly, still at Ole Miss. So Lane Kiffin getting the retread action as well. Why do you think we're seeing so many retreads in the world of college football right now?
It's just kind of the coaching carousel. You see it in the NFL. I mean, in the NFL, it's even worse because there's only, 32 NFL teams. So it's really, every other year, it's a coach gets fired. He goes and takes a coordinator position. Then, every head coaching vacancy comes up. His name's thrown in there. And then it's a never ending cycle. But you're right. I like Willie Taggart to FAU because, FAU, Lane started something good down there. Two conference championship appearances in the last three years. And I think Willie Taggart, this would be a good place for him to go to continue being a head coach, without having to take some years off and then, thrust himself back into a Power Five. I'm with you. I don't like the Steve Adazio at all. I mean, you can only do so much at Boston College, but 44-44. I mean, he was shooting 500, right there at Boston College for, seven seasons?
Yeah.
Seven seasons. And so I don't know, man. And with Lane Kiffin, too. Tyler and I talked about Lane the last couple of days. He set the over-under at four. Will Lane Kiffin be successful, or will Lane Kiffin have a job past season four?
Yeah, if you said over-under 3.5 years right now, what are you taking?
I said, over 3.5. I took the over.
Okay.
Not by much or anything. And I don't think Lane Kiffin's going to come out and blow the doors off anybody because you're still LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State still there, Texas A&M. So, you're playing in the West. It's going to be extremely tough.
And you don't have the talent that the rest of those teams
have.
But
Lane will recruit well, but you still won't. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, so if you're Ole Miss, and I'm not saying Lane Kiffin's an excellent head coach here, but, you're Ole Miss, who else are you going to get better?
You've done a whole lot worse than you could continue to do a whole lot worse.
Exactly. So we'll have to see how it goes, obviously, but that's why I kind of look at that four seasons right there. It's like, okay, we have Lane right here. We've won, seven, eight games, consistently. How much better can we do? you know, considering where we are. So I would put that at the over.
I look at Lane this way, and I absolutely 100% believe Lane Kiffin has the Ole Miss job because Ed Ogeron's worked out at LSU. And the hope is that everybody grows up at a different time. Yep. And if people knew some of the things that happened behind the scenes here when Lane and Ogeron and those guys were here, you would never, ever hire either one of those guys. Never, right? Ogeron seems to have finally figured it out. One, he finally got a coordinator that he's willing to get out of, or no, an offensive play caller that he's willing to just get out of his way, mm-hmm. And let him do his job, which has always been an issue for Ogeron. But some of the stuff behind the scenes, too, you just could not fathom that a grown man would do some of these things, and they both did them. So it was that I think that Ogeron showing that he's grown up a bit has made it where people are willing to take a chance on Lane. I also don't think there were a lot of other options that were legitimately on the table out there. Yeah. After you lost, I mean, if you look at where Ole Miss is, I look at Matt Luke, who was in a very similar situation to Willie Taggart, in my opinion. Matt Luke came into a situation where Ole Miss needed to be taken out of culturally something that they didn't need to be because of Hugh Freeze. And he brought them through that, brought them to the NCAA issues and things like that. And now they want to go get a coach that can win. Mm-hmm. And maybe the best option out there was Lane. I think Lane can be a nice 7-5, maybe, you know, cycle up to an 8-4 win coach at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Is that good enough?
See, at Ole Miss, I think that is.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I know Ole Miss has had success before, but I mean, you're playing in the SEC West. You're going against Saban. You're going against, you know, Jimbo. You're going against Malzahn and, you know, Orgeron now. And I mean, it's just the expectations are not what they would have been at Tennessee, at USC, the Oakland Raiders.
The pressure's not there.
Yeah, the pressure's not there. I mean, I think Ole Miss and Oxford are thrilled to have Lane Kiffin simply because a lot of reasons why Tennessee fans were thrilled to have Lane Kiffin way back in that one season. Just a breath of fresh air. He's going to come in there. He's going to, you know,
is he
going to
cut promos and put a bullseye on his back for the NCAA and the SEC the way that he did here? Or do you think Lane's learned to not do that? Or will he look at it and say, I need to get some attention to Ole Miss and make it cool, and so I'm going to get behind the stick and I'm going to cut promos on everybody?
See, I think he's Lane's Lane. I think there's always going to be attention there. So I don't think it'll be as bad. But, I mean, you know, Ole Miss isn't like FAU. Ole Miss is still an SEC program. You don't, and people know Ole Miss is there.
Yeah.
You don't have to draw a whole lot of attention to Ole Miss. But I do think that Lane will continue to be Lane to an extent, and he will say some things, and he will stir the pot. You know, there was a nice story brought out by The Athletic yesterday talking about how he was gunning for Alabama. You know, for me, I don't care about that. I mean, it's your coach, and you got to put together staff, you know? Yeah. It's like everybody's making money here, okay? But, you know, that may – just because it's Lane Kiffin doing it, that made its rounds
It's another thing because yeah. Lane is the guy that got up there, mm-hmm. and we're going to sing Rockets Up all night long and beat Florida, and then
– And also, I found it very interesting with the Belichick-Saban thing that came out on was it ESPN Plus?
Plus, I think.
But Saban was quoted saying, you know, all my assistants going to get head coaching jobs. There's a way you go about it. They take all my guys. I don't like that. And then,
Lane turns right around and does it.
2 days now, later, Lane does it.
Also, you have more money. You have more success. You can prove that you can get them to a head coaching job. Maybe if you treat people the right way, you don't find yourself in a situation where people can poach your assistants quite so easily. Yeah,
maybe so.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side. Folks, Butch Jones does not get another head coaching job, and there was actual belief that Butch could get the Colorado State head coaching job. When you hear why he was passed over, it might upset you just a little bit if you're a Tennessee fan. We'll come back on the other side. It's the Starting Lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. And welcome back to the Starting Lineup. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. Chandler Emerson, Tyler Ivins with a good day off here. All right, it's Napalm the show. And we will pay off the Butch Jones tease that we did on the other side during the last segment. But I just saw this during the break from Ross Dellinger last night, a Power 5 athletics director. And if you don't know, this is Heisman week. And what that means is the entire college playoff world converges on New York, and they do a series of meetings and, you know, hobnob and network and things like that. And Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated says this: a Power 5 AD in New York this week said a specific 8-team playoff model is circulating around the college football world that would incorporate bowls, including a bowl-sponsored national championship game. That model would be this: 5 automatic bids for Power 5 champions, 2 at-large, 1 group of 5. And this is after Brapping Murphy said a Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney said he would favor an 8-team college football playoff. And he said, I could be under the right circumstances. So he does say, Dellinger, that there are 2 more years that we would get the 4-team playoff no matter what. But in this model, going by the rankings only for the College Football Playoff Committee, here's what this year's playoff would look like. And you tell me, let's go around the room. Would you rather see the 4-team playoff we have now with the bowl games intact or this 8-team college football playoff?
Okay.
Number one, LSU versus number 8, Memphis. Number 4, Oklahoma versus number 5, Georgia. Number 2, Ohio State versus number 7, Baylor. Number 3, Clemson versus number 6, Oregon. Would you rather see what we have now with the 4-team college football playoff and these other bowl games, or would you rather see that 8-team college football playoff?
I think this year, without a doubt, 4 teams. And I know that's going to be the unpopular opinion because everybody wants more. Everybody wants, what about this team? The committee got it wrong. I thought the committee got it absolutely right this year. But think about this. Championship weekend, Georgia got blown out. Ohio State needed to rally 2 scores down to beat a Wisconsin team that now has 3 losses. Virginia, which I know Virginia is not in this group right here, but Virginia was blown out. I mean, the Championship Sunday or Championship Saturday really was kind of a letdown for most of the games. Now, it would be good to see Baylor in there. It'd be good to see Oregon in there.
Would we still see Georgia at 5? Would we still see Baylor at 7? Or would we see a Penn State or a Florida jump in there? Or Alabama jump back into the mix?
So this
or Notre Dame jump back into the mix?
This, Georgia, I don't know if you see a Georgia in there.
Because the way they got beat down.
Now I know LSU's LSU, but the way you got beat down, I mean, you didn't hold a chance in there. I think you might see Florida jump in there.
I agree. Yeah. I don't know that you don't see a Florida jump in there this year specifically because of the way that went down.
You 100% see a Baylor, and you definitely see an Oregon.
Yeah, here's the thing. These bowl games mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'll just be very real. If you want to go play in a bowl game because you just want to, okay, cool. I think it's a horrible business decision for players to play in bowl games if they've got a legitimate future there. The Sugar Bowl, the Sugar Bowl used to be it in the SEC.
Yeah.
We don't care. Like, let's be real. We're in Knoxville, Tennessee, SEC country. We don't care about the Sugar Bowl whatsoever. Now, if Tennessee was there, we would care. If Tennessee's not there, we don't care. That's the way it goes.
We don't care. We didn't want to be there anyway.
Rose Bowl, doesn't matter, right? No. Citrus Bowl, don't care. Orange Bowl, don't care. Fiesta Bowl, don't care. Would you rather be there than the Outback Bowl? Yes, you'd rather be in those bowls than the Outback Bowl. But we don't care whatsoever.
Bowl games just don't mean, and this isn't my, I'm 26 years old. I remember growing up and, bowl games were a huge, huge deal. And just until recently, and, granted, again, it is a business decision. You've seen players get hurt. Why play in these bowl games? But this has only been very recent.
So we've seen two guys that it hurt their money big time. It cost them life-changing, generational-changing money for their family by playing in a bowl game and getting hurt. Jake Butt and Jalen Smith, I guess, is the other guy. So when we saw the injuries to those two guys kind of happen, you're looking at it and saying, if you've got if you're Christian McCaffrey, why are you playing in the Sun Bowl?
I was
going
to say, a couple of years ago when Christian McCaffrey decided not to play in his bowl game, I want to see him play. But
you weren't watching the Sun Bowl anyway, unless there was nothing else on and you happened to be home.
Yeah. So, I totally get it now. But, bowl games are just diminished now, unless you're in the college football playoff. Because, the guy from Georgia last year, I forgot his name, the cornerback. He said out of
DeAndre Baker.
Yeah, DeAndre Baker said that. He didn't play in the bowl game. Yeah. And Georgia played a good bowl game last year.
Yeah, no. And there's always a list of players that aren't going to play in the bowl game. And that just, that's just kind of the way that it goes a little bit, and that's what it's going to be this day and age again because of what we saw with Jake Budd and what we saw with Jalen Smith with all of these things happening.
Something we haven't talked about, Tennessee players. Do you think any Tennessee players are going to sit out the bowl game? I mean, there's not a Tennessee player that's, unless you're Trey Smith potentially, that's, talked about as a 1-2, first, early, second day type guy.
The one thing that it may be a chance, especially since you're the only game in town, maybe a chance to showcase their skills, and most of these guys need a chance to showcase their skills. Mm-hmm. So for those guys, I think you probably play. The only way is if you're somebody who's on the very back end. If Juwan Jennings is the one guy I look at and just think, man, I don't know if he's going to run well enough for him to get himself. It's going to be very tough for him to get into the draft, period. So having an injury means that he gets nothing. You know what I mean? Absolutely nothing, which would be bothersome. So I can see that point of view. Otherwise,
But then again, you go out there and you ball out. You're the only game on.
Exactly.
So,
and it could be something that skyrockets your stock. If you're a guy like Batuli, this could skyrocket your stock. If you're, it probably can help Tennessee more than it can harm Tennessee. But there always is that risk of, do you want to go play in this game that doesn't mean anything and possibly hurt your draft future? That's what you have to ask yourself.
Yeah. Really for Tennessee players, I couldn't see it really hurting any of them in terms of, because you're just not on that fringe right there. I, like you said, you go down the list, Warrior could benefit, Betuli could benefit, Jennings, Callaway. I mean, the only one would be potentially Trey Smith, and we'll have to see.
So here's what you're pretty much asking. Do you want to, would you be willing to trade? Would you be willing to trade Memphis, LSU, and of course you're going to get Ohio State, Baylor, Clemson, Oregon. Would you rather have, I guess, these extra round of games, including Oklahoma against Georgia, or would you rather have Baylor, Georgia, Wisconsin, Oregon, Virginia, Florida, Penn State, Memphis?
I would keep it the way it is, honestly.
Would you really?
I really okay. would. And again, I go back to just how you know, how it was this year. And I know this year isn't the same as every single year, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's just essentially there are expanded playoffs. I mean, Championship Saturday was a playoff game. You know, week 12 was a playoff game for these teams. So it's like, you know, you want to complain, you want to talk about how you're not getting your fair share to get in there. Well, take care of business in the regular season.
Yeah, this year it worked out that way.
Yeah.
There are a lot of years it doesn't. And we did this during the BCS, and then we did this in the college football playoff in 180 a lot. Josh Warden and I did, which is if you go through it less than half of years that you have had the BCS or a 4-team playoff, did you only have four teams who had an equal argument to, did you have more than four teams that had an equal argument to be able to get into the college football playoff?
Yeah.
Team five or team six had an equal argument to team four, and we just went by the eyeball test. At the end of the day, that's why people said this team over this team, solely because of the eyeball test. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that I would like to get away from. The more we can get away from the eyeball test, the better, because I know we keep, look, and God bless Herb Street and Pollock, because those are good dudes. But the more that they talk about the eyeball test, and I just want to say to them, watch any sport at all. The eyeball test almost never works.
Yeah.
Like if the NBA, eyeball test, not the Toronto Raptors. Major League Baseball, eyeball test, not the Washington Nationals, right? Almost every sport, every time, the eyeball test doesn't work out. Virginia, Texas, and Texas Tech. Those two teams would not have been in a college basketball playoff if only put four teams, right? Because of these things, that's the thing that I just want to get away from, is this eyeball test is almost always wrong. So why is that the number one determining factor outside of your record? Record's one, and number two's eyeball test.
Why are we using this?
And that's the unfortunate part. So if we go to automatic bids, you win your conference, you're automatically in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's up to you to get to get yourself into that position where you're one of the at-large teams. I would also argue this. The fact that we have a playoff and it's every week during the regular season. Well, why in the crap did Alabama have another chance to get back into it if they go beat an 8-win Auburn team at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, so that's what I looked at and just said, come on, Alabama shouldn't get another look at it. Like they don't have Tua. They literally haven't beaten anybody that's going to be ranked at this point. So why in the world are they still getting another look at it? Because their name's Alabama. That's why, because we know what Nick Saban's done in the past. That's what I would like to get away from as well, is the more automatic bids and the less we can get these administrators and former coaches and people like that who, God love them, probably just don't watch enough football to be able to tell you which team's better than what team and things like that. The more we can get away from that, the better for me, and let's play this thing out on the field. One, two, I don't care whatsoever about these bowl games. Like, if you told me, look, here, if they're on, I'm going to watch them. It's football. Football's better than not football. Do I care whatsoever about Virginia playing Florida in the Orange Bowl on December 30th, though?
Oh, that game is going... That's not going to be a game. My goodness, Florida's going
to
wax them.
I'm not trying to watch this. I'm not watching one. Like, I don't care about Wisconsin. Oregon's fine. I mean, it's fine. If it's on, I'm going to watch, I guess, if there's nothing else going on and I don't have other plans. Cotton Bowl, I like the matchup of Penn State against Memphis on December 28th. That's a really nice matchup. That sounds like a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about that game. So why am I trying to save something that is meaningless? And at this point, because of where we are with the college football playoff, these bowl games are meaningless. They really are.
It's a moneymaker, though.
And it's that skate, because ESPN can make some money.
Exactly.
Schools lose money and ESPN makes money. And for us, it's extra football, so that's why we watch it.
Yeah, it's a moneymaker, and that's why it'll continue to churn. I will say this. If we were still living in the BCS National Championship era, you would have a... You'd have a team that hasn't lost since 2017, defending national champion on the outside looking in.
Yeah,
you
would. Yeah, absolutely.
And so this is why the playoff at any model is a perfect, you know, just at least have it. And then, of course, you go on from the 4-8 or whatever.
We'll come back while you were sleeping. On the other side, starting lineup, Sports Radio WNML.
Sometimes your bedtime comes early. Let us do the work and keep you up to date while you were sleeping. Being brought to you by Mr. Electric. They have the power to make things better. Online at mrelectric.com.
All right, while you were sleeping last night, Lady Vols get another win, this time against Colorado State. Final score 79-41. Relevant stat, oh interest. Colorado State last night, 44 attempted three-point baskets in that game. They went 8 of 44. I don't think it's statistically that's possible. Shot 21% from the field and shot 18% from beyond the arc, 62% from the free throw line. Lady Vols shot 50% from the field, 30% from the three-point line, 6 of 20 in that game. Another win for Kelly Jolly and her team. Okay, is there a legitimate possibility that they're actually good?
I think it's still too early to tell, to be honest with you. Now, they, you know, lost on Sunday to Texas, but the team showed a lot of fight. You remember last year's team, you know, probably would have just folded in that circumstance, down double digits, came back, took the lead late in that game against the Longhorns, so credit them. But, you know, I like the comments after the game. Renee Davis said, yeah, we don't like her after a loss, talking about, you know, Coach Harper. It's different, and it's almost like they were scared of her. So, just a dominant effort last night for the Lady Vols, double-double. Renee Davis, 23 and 11, respectively, and Jordan Horson had a double-double as well.
All right, so World College Basketball last night was a scary moment. Illinois knocks off number 5 Michigan 71-62. I want to call it an upset, but Illinois was actually favored to win the game.
Yeah.
But there was a young man named Cockburn who got an and-one late in the game, and he just swung his fist kind of in celebration, fired up about it, and accidentally punched the referee in the head. Knocked him clean out.
Not good.
No.
Not good at all.
Goodness. Kofi Cockburn was his name. He actually had 19 points, 10 rebounds. And he's a center. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
So, ugly situation. Actually punched him, the ref in the head. Does look like everyone's going to be okay, but still, it was tough to sit and watch that referee down on the floor like that for as long as he was.
Have you ever accidentally hurt somebody? I'm not trying to make light of the moment, but stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, just a freak accident.
Yep.
It was a solid tomahawk for sure.
Yeah. My cousin Brad one time, he was walking up behind me. We're getting ready to play baseball in my grandparents' backyard. And so I'm like taking some, you know, I mean, practice swings and stuff like that, loosening it up because, you know, you need to loosen it up. And yeah. I was like 10 years old, but I was like 5'7" when I was 10. You know, I was like 5'7", 140 pounds when I was 10 years old. Yeah. I was a big kid. And so he goes to, like, I guess the ball got somehow thrown over. Somebody said he ran over to get it and I didn't see him. And when I came back around my swing, I popped him right in the stomach.
Mm.
Never good.
Yeah, doesn't feel good right there.
World of Baseball, if you want to talk about bad contracts, let's continue to talk about bad contracts in the World of Baseball. Anthony Rendon, 7 years, $245 million with the Los Angeles Angels.
And the thing about this, no deferred money,
yeah,
no opt-outs. I mean, this is straight up what it is right now. Anthony Rendon, 7 years, $245 million, and that's the same contract Steven Strasburg got to stay in Washington.
It is. Now he's 29 years of age. He'll be 30 by the time really we get to the middle, before we even get to the All-Star break next year. So you're talking about paying him until he's almost 37 years old. Good luck with that. This year's, it's just stupid money. Look, I saw it. Scott Boras said at the baseball winter meetings, last year's baseball free agency, nothing seemed to get going. This year's just absolutely on fire. But Rendon signs with the Angels. Can they be a legitimate contender, or is this a guy signing the big money deal for a team that's never going to contend, but he's going to get paid?
Give me some pitching in LA, and then I'll start taking you. I want to like the Angels. I want to believe in the Angels, but year in and year out, they continue to have the bats. They have a nice offense, but you just have no consistent pitching. No.
Gerrit Cole contract. I tweeted this yesterday, so sorry if you're hearing this for the second time. I'm going to sit around and act like this isn't a horrible, terrible, dumb, stupid deal.
Here's the thing.
4 years minimum of dead money at the end. Minimum 4 years dead money. Most likely 5 years of dead money. And Gerrit Cole, I say this as someone who has had him on a fantasy baseball team for a half decade. He has never been the guy that he was last year at any other point in time in his career. During his 29 years of age is when he finally had that dominant year. That's called the Cole Hamels. I'm in a contract year. I go out and just smoke everybody, and he's going to be 13-11 with a 4.1 ERA for the rest of his career, which is great. But you're paying this guy $40 million a year to do that, and you're going to pay him again minimum 4 years of dead money.
Yeah, broke the record for annual salary for a pitcher in Major League Baseball. I mean, here's the thing for me. the Yankees are going to win a World Series within the next 9 years. You're going to. And Garrett Cole is going to play a big factor in that. So to me, like,
as your third starter or second starter, though, is that going to be worth paying him this money?
I think he'll at least be the two. I mean, he's probably the number one right now in that ball club.
I'll just say this again. He has never, ever, 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 ever been what he was last year. Not close to that, frankly. He's been solid. He's been a nice, solid inning eater. You know what I mean?
Even the Garrett Cole of prior to
Pittsburgh,
last season.
Pittsburgh Garrett Cole. Is Pittsburgh Garrett Cole worth this money?
No, because I mean, the year he had last year got him this money, don't get me wrong. Yes. But you pair him and Sebi at the top of that rotation, I like it. Here's the thing. I'm the big believer in if you win a World Series championship, then it all works out.
Win one World Series title, that's enough.
And I think they'll win more than one. And so I think that, you know, if my Atlanta Braves would go out and spend money like that, go out and spend money like that. Heck yeah.
Here's my concern, though. I remember what happened when they had Teixeira on the payroll and they couldn't go sign guys. A-Rod was on the payroll. Jeter's on the payroll making money. And they're old and they can't go sign guys. The Yankees aren't good. Now, if you win two World Series between now and then, maybe it's worth all of that. Yeah. But if you don't.
And see, the Yankees are one of those teams to where you can go out and win a World Series next year. The Atlanta Braves right now are a team to where you can go out and win a World Series. You know, if you're going and bring like with Rendon in LA, like I realistically don't believe the Angels are closer to winning a World Series. And you just go out there and you're going to pay him $245 million over the next 7 years. So I like the Garrett Cole signing a lot more than I like the Rendon signing, for being honest.
Yeah, Garrett Cole in 2017, 12-12 with a 4.26 ERA. That's my concern, is Garrett Cole's more like that than he is what we saw this past season.
Yeah.
That is my concern. That is Why You Were Sleeping, brought to you by Mr. Electric. We'll come back on the other side. Love It or Leave It coming up next on The Starting Lineup. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. And final segment of hour number one of The Starting Lineup. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. Chandler Emerson with us as well. 656-9900 if you want to get on board. We'll pay off the Butch Jones thing coming up on the other side, because if you hear why Butch Jones was discredited, I saw a lot of people on social that were upset why Butch Jones' name was removed from the conversation at Colorado State. Now, I'll give you also, at the time when we talk about this, the real reason you should remove Butch Jones' name from consideration at Colorado State. But when you hear why they decided not to go with Butch Jones, there were a lot of Tennessee fans that were kind of up in arms about that. And I think people are misunderstanding what it was with Butch in the situation that caused him to not be able to get, or be at least be considered, a finalist for that job. 656-9900, your phone number. Let's close it out with Love It or Leave It.
When you break it all down, it comes to one simple question. Love it or leave it?
Love it or leave it.
Number one. All right, Eric Kane, no more penny talk.
Yeah, Rick Barnes met with the media earlier this week, played a couple of those comments yesterday on my UT practice report. But, you know, Rick Barnes is saying, you know, we're creating more out of nothing, man. You know, creating something that's not even there in terms of, you know, Penny Hardaway and the comments he made towards Tennessee players and about Rick Barnes himself following last year's win in Memphis for the Volunteers. Look, Coach Barnes, I know you are a deacon, you are a fantastic coach, a better man, and you're trying not to let this, you know, spark up and let this be more than what it is. But the fact of the matter is, Penny Hardaway took a shot at you and your program last year, and Tennessee fans aren't going to let that just slide. Tennessee fans are going to be in full force come Saturday, and I can't wait to see some of the gimmicks and everything from the student section.
So who is the most hated man according to the Tennessee fan base right now? Is Penny number one with a bullet?
I would say so, for sure. Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. You know, especially what he said about Rick Barnes and Grant Williams and Jordan Bone last year.
To go on national television and repeatedly lie about the situation and try to cover up for the fact that he lied about the situation to begin with.
So it is what it is. Rick Barnes said that he's done a terrific job. He's complimented Penny all week long, as you'd expect nothing less from Rick Barnes. But come on, Coach Barnes. I understand what you're doing right there, but I'll leave that.
Number two.
Someone finally said it.
Okay, Troy Aikman's the only person that is willing to say the thing about Jerry Jones that needs to be said. I keep seeing Cowboy fans, we got to get rid of Jason Garrett. We got to get rid of, I mean, yeah, you do. You should have got, Jason Garrett should have never had a job. One. Two, yes, you should also get rid of him. But the problem is not Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett is a symptom. The disease is Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones will cut a check. Jerry Jones is the reason we got this whole Chargers nonsense going on right now in Los Angeles instead of the Raiders being there. Jerry Jones is a problem. Jerry Jones is about Jerry, and Jerry Jones is treating the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys as his own personal fantasy football team. If you're a longtime Dallas Cowboy fan and you didn't look at the Dave Campos situation, the fact that Barry Switzer got an NFL head coaching job, Troy Aikman's the only person willing to say Jerry Jones is the problem, and until he steps away and you get a real GM in there, you're going to continue to have this problem. He's 100% right, and I will say this again, Cowboy fans, I love you to death. They would be very good for the league for the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl. As long as Jerry Jones is drawing breath on the face of planet Earth, and I'm not trying to be morbid, there is zero chance the Cowboys will win a Super Bowl. It will never, ever, ever, and I'll never say never in sports, it will never happen as long as Jerry is alive, frankly, and owning the Dallas Cowboys.
What did you think of his appearance on The Fan last week?
So stupid.
I mean,
well, okay, why is he doing the appearances? Why is he walking out of the owner's box and doing a media availability that we're having a broadcast on NFL Network on ESPN?
I mean, he said nothing of interest to.
No.
I mean, it was like midnight. I sit and watch that before I went to bed. It was a waste of time.
Danny, here's the thing, too. No coach worth anything is willing to deal with that. And that's why the Dallas Cowboys are constant underachievers, even though they're the biggest brand in sports, without question.
Number three.
Tannehill turning heads.
Your AFC Player of the Week. Your Tennessee Titans starting quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill has come on. Tennessee has won its last, four ball games under Tannehill seven starts this season. He's been pretty spectacular, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, completing over 73% of his passes. Ryan Tannehill has kind of been a breath of fresh air for this Tennessee Titans team.
His quarterback rating is 118.
Yeah. He's getting it done. 3 touchdowns, 391 yards passing against the Raiders. And hey, Tennessee, a lot of people in this area talking about the Titans, what they can do, what they can do. I still think it's going to be a tough challenge, too, against Houston, sandwiched around a game against the Saints. But hey, Ryan Tannehill, ride the hot hand. As a Titans fan, I love it.
Number 4.
And it means what?
Okay, I don't know if you saw this. Kawhi Leonard talked about yesterday his championship ringing guy for the Toronto Raptors. Well, inside the championship ring, he has the emoji for the middle finger. So when he's asked, okay, what does that mean? He says, oh, it doesn't mean anything. It just means to remind me to put it on my middle finger. Because he had his...
Right.
Here's the thing with Kawhi, I believe him. Because he said, well, my Spurs one was sized for my index finger. I have one for my ring finger. And I have to remember that this one got sized for my middle finger. So I put the middle finger emoji. I had it engraved onto the ring so that I remember what finger to put the ring on. I don't think Kawhi makes jokes or says things for the media or PR. Yeah. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Yeah. I love this. I can't. Give me all the Kawhi Leonard just being weird. Like, I am a huge fan of Kawhi. A board man gets paid. And the fact that he's got the middle finger emoji on his championship ring so that he remembers to put it on his middle finger is the most Kawhi Leonard story in the history of Kawhi Leonarddom. That is Love It or Leave It, brought to you by New Balance Knoxville Suburban Shopping Center right on Kingston Pike. You'll love the colorways. You'll love the new styles they have at New Balance Knoxville. And you'll love the fit test, the perfect fit every single time with the incredible service they have at New Balance Knoxville. We'll come back on the other side. Why didn't Butch Jones get the Colorado State job? We tell you next, starting lineup on the Sports Animal.